We are going to read this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, which in my Bible is entitled By Faith. And I'm reading from the ESV, so if you have the option to change and you want to match, you can. If not, it should all work. Hebrews chapter 11, and starting at verse 1. So I'm just trying to find my notes. What am I doing? We read, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. As it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites, and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And we're going to continue looking into those words now. Some commentators that I've been using split Hebrews chapter 11 into about 11 different sermons. Some go for two. We're going for one today. So either your lunch will be burnt and I apologize for that, or I'll speak too quickly or something along those lines. But I really felt that this was one message all combined together, and I didn't want to split it. Some people will split it according to the different people. But this passage is all about faith, and it's quite a turning point from the rest of the book of Hebrews. If you remember, we've been looking about how Jesus is better and being encouraged to draw near to God, how we can hold fast to God's word. Last week, we were given some practical applications. We were told to work together, to encourage each other, to flee from sin. And now we're given some wonderful examples of truly faithful people. And we have 3 points, the first of which is that we find a definition of faith. Sometimes in the world, we find that people define faith as something you can drum up. If you've ever watched something like The X Factor, which I don't think it's called anymore, it might still be, you see people going on stage and whoever's with them telling them to believe in themselves and have faith in yourself. And the more belief in yourself, the better you'll be. And I don't think that's the case. And I definitely don't think that's the case of what we find here in Hebrews. It doesn't appear the more faith you have, the better you'll be. It's all about where that faith is directed. If I got in my car today and decided I would drive to New York, and no matter how much I believed I could do it, I physically couldn't. As soon as I got 4 miles off what I assume would be the coast of Wales, would be the obvious route to take, my car would sink and I wouldn't be able to go any further. No matter how much I genuinely thought I had the ability. However, you will often see people at Heathrow Airport who are shaking and terrified, but they get on the plane and they go and they land in America. It's not necessarily about how much faith you have, but it's about what your faith is directed at. And through this chapter, we are convinced that our faith should be directed at God. We've already seen through this book of Hebrews how our faith can be because he has better promises for us. He made a better sacrifice in his son. Jesus was better than the angels, better than Moses. And all of those things inspire us to have faith in God. And now we find other people too that had faith in God, and it led them to do some truly wonderful things. Biblical faith is faith that is directed at God, and it is God that matters. And we find in verse 1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So firstly, we find our faith can be pointed forward to things that we hope for, and it's not just a hope like saying I hope I have fish and chips for dinner. It's a sure hope. It's being assured of the things we hope for. It's being certain of the things that God has promised. And we have all sorts of things to look forward to that we find in God's word. And we can be sure that they will come true because God, throughout history, has proven himself faithful. A lot of the people in this chapter that we've just read were sure of something that would happen. Abraham was sure of something that would happen, that he would inherit a promised land. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, as we read last week, tells us this: you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And we have all been promised something. If we are trusting in God, we have been promised a place with Him for all eternity, an inheritance that we can receive. So faith is being sure of the things that we hope for. It's looking forward to the things ahead, but it's also being sure of the things of the past. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 again continued, the conviction of things not seen. And there are many things, aren't there, that God has done that we haven't seen, that we can't see because they happened so long ago. We have God's word, we have scripture full of things that God has done, but we can't physically see all of them ourselves. We can't see how they happened, but we have to have an element of faith. It takes faith to believe in the things that God has done, because we don't have, be careful with my words here, we don't have full evidence for everything, because some things we just can't see. And there's an example given to us in verse 3. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. Obviously, there is a universe, we can see it, but we can't see exactly how it was created other than to look into God's word and to see what we're told about the way that He created it. And it takes faith to believe that. So there are two parts of faith. One is looking forward to the things ahead. The other is looking back to the things that have been done and trusting that God did what we take to believe that He did. And why is faith important? Well, in verse 2, we're told, by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, the people that have gone before us made God pleased. And that is how we too can make God pleased. Our faith pleases God, but it's not the level of faith. It's not how much faith we have. It's not even that faith is some kind of work that we have to do. The fact is, the thing that pleases God is the direction of our faith. Our faith in Christ Jesus and the work done on the cross, and our faith in God that what He says will come true, will come true. Our faith is not some good work that pleases God. The fact is, our faith is the only thing that can please God, and our faith is in the only thing that can please God, and that is Christ, because He is the only perfect being to have ever walked this earth. So our faith should be directed at God, and it is by faith in God, that the people of old received their commendation, that the people of old were told, well done. Faith of things in the future and faith in things of the past. So now we come on to my second point. After a definition of faith, we come to these examples of faith. And there are several, and we'll go quite quickly. If you wish to look at any in more detail, please do. This evening we're going to talk a little bit about Gideon. Last year here at Kesgrave, I did some of them, but various people looked at studies of Abraham. So if you wish to catch up on that, the messages are around somewhere. But we'll go fairly quickly through these examples of faith. Firstly, we have Abel. And we read in verse 4, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. Now, we're not told exactly why Abel's sacrifice was more commendable, was better. If you remember, Abel sacrificed, I think it was a sheep, whereas Cain brought produce of the land, vegetables or something. It may be that Abel's sacrifice included blood as to why it was more acceptable. It may be because it was done out of a more contrite heart. But the important fact is that Abel's approach to God was more pleasing than Cain's, and it invoked such jealousy that Cain, in the end, killed him. Abel had a great faith that he wanted to draw near to God with all that he had, whereas in Cain there was something lacking. We're told in verse 4, through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So we're encouraged to look at what Abel is still saying to us today through his faith, through his obedience to God can inspire us today. Then we move on to Enoch, who is quite an interesting character. He's not mentioned much in Scripture. Verse 5 tells us, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. He was taken, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. We're not told how he pleased God. We're not told how it was, but in Genesis, we're told that Enoch walked with God, which would appear that Enoch was in a close relationship with God. He walked with him, and that pleased God. To walk with him inspires in the mind the forming of a relationship with God, spending time with God. To us, that would be spending time in prayer, spending time reading his word. Enoch was in close relationship with God, and relationships need time devoted to them. Enoch spent time getting to know God more, as we should in prayer, in worship, in reading of the scripture. God wants us to walk closely with him. Enoch had a great reward. He was taken up to heaven. He didn't have to go through death. He was taken up to heaven. And then in verse 6, we find our kind of our first warning, if you will. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near, whoever wants to come close to God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Only by faith can we draw near to God. Only by faith can we enter into a relationship with him. Just reading the Bible without faith doesn't help. Just praying without faith doesn't help. We need to believe, firstly, that God exists, and secondly, that he will reward those of us who are trusting in him, as Enoch did. And then we find, thirdly, one of my favourite characters in this is Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And that was verse 7. I don't know if you ever worry about what people think of you. I don't know if you ever worry that if people find out that you're a Christian, or you start telling people about God, that you might worry that you'll be mocked or ridiculed, or people will just think there's something up with you. But put yourselves in Noah's shoes. He was told to build a truly massive boat in the middle of a desert, in a time when they hadn't seen rain. We're not told that Noah was mocked, but you can well imagine the curious glances from the people around, the concern as to what this man is doing in the middle of miles away from the ocean. But he carried on doing it. He was told what he needed to do to ensure his salvation, and the people around him just didn't care. In Matthew and chapter 24, and verse 38 to 39, Jesus says these words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38 to 39. For as in those days before the flood, so before Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Those people had a great sign, a massive boat being built right near them, and they just ignored it, and destruction came. The people of this earth have a massive sign. I'm telling you now, Jesus died on a cross for your salvation, so that if you are trusting in him, you can be saved from punishment, from death, and given eternal life. And yet people in this world still ignore it. People still move on, going about with their lives, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and all the other things that people do. But one day those times will come to an end, just like they did in Noah's day, and we don't know when. The coming of the Son of Man, Jesus' return, will come at some point. But people still don't care. Noah was given a mission. Noah was told how to ensure his salvation from the flood. He built the boat, he got on it, and he was saved with his family. We are told the route to salvation is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must make sure we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We now move on from Noah to a list of people that we'd commonly call the patriarchs, the fathers of the faith, if you will. And we begin with Abraham. And there's quite a lot said about Abraham. In verse 8, we're reminded that Abraham was called to leave his home. He was sent out from Ur and Haran and told to go, leave your family behind and go. And he did, not knowing even where he was going. If you drive out of your house today without knowing where you were going, it would be, you'd question what you're doing. But Abraham was told to do so, and he did. He had faith in the God that was giving him instructions. Later on, we're told in verse 17 and 18 that Abraham was tested. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Abraham was fully prepared to sacrifice his son on an altar that he'd made on the top of a mountain because God had told him to. Now, we know that God condemned the nations that practiced child sacrifice. So I fully believe that his plan all along was clearly to save Isaac. But Abraham demonstrated a great faith in God's plan. Verse 19 I find amazing. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So when Abraham had Isaac on that altar, he considered that God would just raise him from the dead, which is quite a phenomenal thing to be going through your mind when you're doing what Abraham was called to do. Are we happy to sacrifice things that we have as Abraham was? And I don't mean physically like Abraham did, but are we happy to give up our time, give up our money, give up our comfort, whatever it may be, in order to serve God as he wants us to? It might be that we consider that we'll get it back, but we're not promised that if we give away our money, we'll get it back. But we are promised a greater reward at the end of time. And that is what Abraham was looking forward to all the while. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are all commended in this passage of Hebrews chapter 11 in verse, well, we've just read a bit about Abraham. And then we read of Isaac in verse 20 and Jacob in verse 21 and Joseph. And they were all looking forward to something in the future. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all blessed their children, reminding them of the promise that had been made to them. The promise that they would inherit a land, that Abraham's offspring would inherit the nation of Canaan. Joseph, at the end of his life, when the people were in Egypt, got his sons together and told them to take his bones back to Canaan or Israel one day. All of them were looking forward to receiving a land on this earth. And they did things, they were faithfully, they trusted God's promise that that would happen. And we know that that did happen. And we know that Israel became a great land, particularly under the time of King David and King Solomon. But actually, despite all they did on earth, despite all the faith they had in that promise of God, we're told Abraham, particularly in verse 10, was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. We're told in verse 15 that if he really wanted to, if they were talking about a land on this earth, they could have just walked there, which they didn't do. Abraham could have just walked back to Ur. Joseph could have walked back to Israel. It wouldn't have been particularly challenging. But they were all looking further ahead than anything this earth can offer. Verse 16 tells us, as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they all recognize that this world was not their home. We're told in this chapter that they all died in faith, not receiving the full things that had been promised. They recognize that on this earth, in verse 13, they were strangers and exiles. They were looking forward to a homeland. Now, at times on this earth, I feel like I don't fit in. As a Christian, I feel like I don't fit in with the world, the ways of the world. And the truth is that we're not supposed to feel that we do. And actually, if we do fit fully into the world, then maybe we need to look at ourselves. Often when you go on holiday, it's great to get home, isn't it? Holiday can be lovely, but there's a certain feeling that we start to get a bit uncomfortable and long for the normality of home, the comfort of home. We have an even better home to look forward to than anywhere we may live. This world is not our home. It's not comfortable to us. It's different. It's difficult. We have a heavenly home to look forward to, as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph were all looking forward to as well. And we can be sure of the things that have been promised. So we started kind of with three people who entered into close relationships with God, who did as God wanted. Then we've moved on to the patriarchs who were looking forward to an eternal home and trusting in God for that. And now we get to a few people who just weren't scared of earthly authorities. And this can speak to us today too. We're told through the book of Hebrews to hold fast to the confession of our faith. Stay strong in God's word. And then we get to verse 23 here that says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. This isn't Moses' faith, but his parents. By faith, when Moses was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. That king being Pharaoh at the time had told the Egyptian midwives to kill, and the Israelite midwives, to kill any male born to an Israelite woman. But Moses' parents weren't afraid of what the king had said. They chose to keep their child alive. This disgusting idea that the children should be killed, they were completely against. And they chose to keep their child alive. They hid him. And then, as you know, they hid him in the basket in the river. And wonderfully, God's plan came into action when Pharaoh's own daughter came, rescued him and adopted him. And then Moses' mother was enabled to look after him. God clearly had a plan, but it was through the faith of Moses' parents, the faith in God, their faith that enabled them to not be afraid of the king. That faith enabled those events to happen. Later on, that Moses would grow up. And in verse 27, we're told, by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Again, Moses chose to do what he thought was right, not afraid of the Pharaoh. He looked to God, not the king, and that enabled him to act. We're told some other things about Moses as well. In verse 25, he chose to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses gave up some of the things the world had to offer so that he could be part of the people of God. And what a great example that is to us. Now we draw to an end of looking at these people, and it appears in some ways that the author to the Hebrews sort of started to run out of time and just started to rattle off as many names as he could of great examples of faith. And I'm too probably starting to run out of time, but we're reminded of the Israelites, who faithfully crossed the Red Sea and faithfully walked 13 times around the walls of Jericho, waiting for the walls to collapse. Those two things must have seemed to an onlooker absolutely ridiculous, but they chose to do them nonetheless. They could have walked around the Red Sea. They had Pharaoh's hordes marching down on them, and just that first step into that path between the waters must have been terrifying. And yet they chose to do it. As they approached the walls of Jericho, and they weren't told to attack it with ladders or whatever weapons they had, they were told to just walk around it. And they must have felt foolish in many ways, but they'd been told to do it by God, and they had faith that God would answer his promises, so they did it. We're told of Rahab, who at the same time as the walls of Jericho was happening, just before then, she'd hidden some Israelite spies, because she recognized God's greatness. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land and the fear of you has fallen upon us. I know that the Lord has given you the land. And it was that faith in God that inspired her to defy the authorities of her town and hide these two spies. And now we're left with Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, of whom you can read about in the books of Judges and Samuel and Kings and Kings. Great things happened, and great examples of faith these are. All because they were trusting in God. I don't know if there's any aspects of trusting in God that you struggle with today, but we have examples in Scripture of people who trusted in His promises, of people who trusted in His power, of people who trusted in His power against earthly forces, inspiring them to do what God wanted. Faith to do God's plan, because their faith is directed in God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 tells us this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who promised is faithful. The God who made us great promises is a faithful God, and we can trust in Him just like those people of old. If you're questioning whether you could have that faith today, well, remember that all of those people were flawed in some way. If you look through their accounts, you find that after Noah stepped out of the ark, one of the first things he did was to get so drunk that he could barely even wake up. Abraham was fearful and lied to try and save himself at times. Isaac showed favoritism to his children. Jacob showed favoritism to his children. Sorry, they both did. Jacob was a trickster. All of these people had flaws, and yet God still used them. Gideon was found by an angel hiding in a hole. God still used him because his faith was directed in God. And finally, after those great examples of faith, we finish by seeing two different results to faith. As we read the end of chapter 11, we read in verse 33 that people conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and wonderful things were happening. And it's true that through faith in God, wonderful things can happen. But then we get this sudden flick halfway through verse 35. That I missed when I was reading it and missed the tone of. Some were tortured, refusing to accept relief. Others suffered mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Bad things happened to these faithful people too. We're not told in God's word that if we have enough faith, nothing bad will happen. If we have enough faith, we will be rich and healthy and well, and wonderful things will happen. We're actually told that Christians will suffer for their faith. So don't let those things knock you. Don't let those things push you off the narrow way that we're called to walk along. Don't let suffering get in the way of your relationship with God. Don't expect a perfect life on this earth. Being a Christian doesn't ensure a rich and glorious life. So why bother? Trusting in God ensures a rich and glorious future. Faith in God ensures the best future imaginable. Abraham, as we said, was looking forward to something better to come later. Verse 39, as we finish, tells us this. All of these people that we've looked at, commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The New Living Translation says it like this. God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. We, along with those of old, can reach perfection, a perfect place. There is something better than anything this earth can offer that we can look forward to, something to inherit, something to come. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and I am assured that I can hope and look forward to a place in heaven. This life may have ups and downs. This life may have great triumphs, but also great difficulties. But this world is not our home, and there is somewhere better to come. How do you get there? You get there by faith. Faith in God. But be inspired to live a faithful life too. Look at these great people who did that and experienced great things and difficult times as well. But they continued to live by faith. Amen.